Our reading for Tuesday, June 9th, begins in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Therefore, when we could bear it no longer, we were willing to be left behind at Athens alone, and we sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish and exhort you in your faith, that no one be moved by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are destined for this. For when we were with you, we kept telling you beforehand that we were to suffer affliction, just as it has come to pass, and just as you know. For this reason, when I could bear it no longer, I sent to learn about your faith, for fear that somehow the tempter had tempted you and our labor would be in vain. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and love and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you. For this reason, brothers, in all our distress and affliction, we have been comforted about you through your faith. For now we live, if you are standing fast in the Lord. For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you, for all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God, as we pray most earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Our reading today is pretty short. Chapter 3 is not very long. Let's just go through and observe a few things. I just want to point out chapter 2, when we left off with our last reading, verse 17, he had said, "Since we were torn away from you, brothers, for a short time, in person, not in heart, we endeavored the more eagerly with great desire to see you face to face." And I try to understand what Paul is describing. These are people that responded positively to the preaching of the gospel. And more specifically, at least some of them responded to Paul preaching the gospel. And he had a special bond with them because of that. When he describes this desire, this great desire, as he says, to come and see them, it's more than you and I feel when there's a friend we haven't seen in a long time, or a family member we haven't seen in a long time. We might look forward to some sort of reunion with them, but Paul's description of this is greater than that. And Paul sees them as the fruit of his labor, and he wants to not just see them in order to maybe embrace or catch up, as we might say. He wants to see them in order to know how their progress is going, to know how their faith is doing, to know whether they are being steadfast in that faith that he was able to foster through the preaching of the gospel. And it bothers him that he hasn't been able to do so. When you have an opportunity to teach someone the gospel and they respond to that and you help them to be obedient, there is a bond that is established, even if it's not one that gets fostered for a long time. There's been instances where someone might go and do a gospel meeting and someone responds to the gospel during that meeting. They are baptized because of what they heard that night, and that preacher wants to know how they do when he goes home. He's going to check up on them. He's going to ask about them. He wants to know that that was not just a moment that was fleeting, like the seed that lands on the stony ground that can spring up for a short time and then has no roots, so it goes away. They want to know that there's some substance there with their faith. That's what Paul's describing. And so verse 18 of chapter 2, he said, "We wanted to come to you again and again, but Satan hindered us." And then we left off with 19 and 20, which was, "What is our hope or crown or boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you, the fruit of our labors," is what he's speaking. So then chapter 3, "Therefore, when we could bear it no longer, when we could wait no more to find out how they are doing and find out the status of their faith, we were willing to be left behind and send Timothy. Timothy was a co-worker in the gospel. Yes, Paul was mentoring him, but he was still pulling his weight, we might say. So for him to send Timothy, he says, I was willing to go without his assistance because this was very important. It was very important that we know how it was going with you. When we think about the desire to check in on them, I think we can relate in a small way by thinking about those that reach a point perhaps in their life or their health that they're not able to attend regularly with us. And so we become more eager to know how they are doing. We become more eager to check in on them, see if there's something that we can do for them and help them in some particular way. That's not an exact correlation, but maybe that can help you understand just a little bit of how he is. And if you're on the other end of that, if you're missing from services for an extended period of time and the brethren start calling you, understand that what they are saying by calling you is saying that we are eager and greatly desirous to see you and know how you're doing and to check up on you. That's what they are expressing to you when they are concerned and begin to check on you. So they send Timothy. He calls him his brother and God's co-worker in the gospel to establish and to exhort you in your faith. So it's not just about finding out how they're doing, but Timothy's going to do some work while he's there. He's going to work among them and help them. He's going to exhort them and help to establish them in that faith. And the whole point of this is Paul is concerned that because of these afflictions, that they might not be able to stand firm in their faith, that they might falter. And then he makes this comment, for you yourselves know that we are destined for this. So they've been warned that things are going to be happening, and especially to those that are preaching the gospel, things are going to happen to them. Verse 4, he said, we kept telling you beforehand that we were to suffer affliction just as it comes to pass. But he does not want that to be a source of discouragement to make them shirk back from their faith. They need to stand strong. We all need to stand strong. But if we don't work on our faith, then our faith atrophies, our faith dies. It is a sort of a spiritual muscle that we have to keep fed and keep worked so that it can do its job. So then, verse 5, I sent to learn about your faith, for fear that somehow the tempter had tempted you and our labor would be in vain. The fruit of that labor would disappear, would be gone. Verse 6, but now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and love and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you, he says, we've been comforted. It's comforting to have others that are standing firm in their faith. Sometimes we're comforted to see the faith of others even when we don't know them. In today's day and age, when we have more communication over long distances than we've ever had before, there are stories that come around about someone standing strong in the face of some terrible circumstance. Maybe it's their health, maybe it's a family situation, maybe it's temptation in general. And we find comfort from that. We feel a bond with them because we are all facing these temptations. So verse 8, now we live if you are standing fast in the Lord. It's not that their life is dependent upon them, but you know that this is their life's work, is preaching the gospel and helping disciples to be strong in the faith. Verse 9, for what thanksgiving can we return to God for you? For all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God as we pray earnestly night and day and supply what is lacking in your faith. What he really wants, he explains in 11 and following. May God grant us to direct our way to you, and may you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for yours, so that your hearts may be established. So he's going through these points that he's saying, I pray for these things to happen. And Paul believes in the power of prayer. All of us should believe in the power of prayer. As I mentioned Sunday morning in our lesson, the response of a Christian in all circumstances should be to pray. Bad circumstance, pray. Good circumstance, pray. Joyous, pray. Depressing, pray. You know, no matter what it is, our response is to pray. And he says, I pray about these things. I pray that I can see you. I pray that the Lord will help you to increase and abound in love. And I pray that your hearts be established in holiness before God. That's what he's praying for. Those are good things to pray for. Those are things you and I should be praying for, about each other, for each other. These are things that remind me how important it is that I set aside the time to pray. Reminds me how important it is that I stop letting the world crowd out my prayer life. I stop letting demands on my time dictate how much I pray. No, it should be the other way around. I pray first, then I find time for other things, especially those secular things that they're not going to really make as much a difference as maybe they feel like they would. I got up this morning, and I get up with Keith every day, and I see him off before he goes to work. Right now during the summer, he goes very early, and so he's usually gone before 7 o'clock. So this morning I decided to take advantage of the cool morning, and I would go out and work on the lawn mowers, the generator, that kind of stuff. Go change the oil in those. I've been kind of putting off taking care of the lawn mowers this spring, feeling like I didn't have that much time to mess with it. But I decided today was the day I needed to get it done. I got out there and did it. By the way, it didn't stay cool for very long. It was pretty warm. But I got it done. And did it really matter that, you know, I probably should have done it 2 months ago? I don't know. I suppose it matters some little bit in regards to the wear on the engines, but in the grand scheme of things that we're talking about, no, it doesn't. It doesn't really matter that, you know, I did it a couple of months later than I really had planned. There are some other things I probably could have done this morning, but they would have been similar. They would have been chore-type things before I got to work doing other activities for the day. But I got after it early. I got it done. And you feel a sense of accomplishment. But does that compare to the things that I need to be doing to feed my spirit? Does that compare to feasting on the Word? Does that compare to praying to my God? Does that compare to checking on my brother? No. All of those things are much more important. Seek first the kingdom of God. Thank you for listening today. I hope that I've encouraged you. I did a little bit more commenting than I expected I would for this chapter, but I pray that it was useful for you so that we can all be strong in the faith and we can be comforted by one another. Please continue to pray that God may be with us all.